numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D, Bar Canada, the Barrage. Kelly and I, before we get to Paul Carr, because we got Champions League action to talk about here. Before we get to Paul, we were just having a dead heat conversation off air because you were like, wait, what did you say about dead heat? Because your understanding of dead heat was different. And it's very interesting because the math can be fuzzy. The dead heat rules that I was weaned on and still exist at Pillars of Offshore, right, is what I said, which is, again, let's say a golf bet or whatever, this bet with the most wins in March and April.
Yep.
Let's say you bet $100, Kelly Bidlin. I think I should call you Kelly Bidlin more, by the way. I think it's more for your brand instead of just Kelly. I'll just call him Kelly Bidlin. Everybody know you.
Go. K. Michael Bidlin.
Let's say you bet $100 on something at 10-1 odds. Let's make it easy. But you were tied with four others,
mm-hmm.
right? The math that I am familiar with, right? Let's say at a Pillar of Offshore, is that instead of you wouldn't get the 10-1 with $100 because you're tied with four other people. It would be divided by, so your it would be your stake plus your winnings, so 1,100, then divided by five, because that's how many, that was the five-way tie, minus, on top of that, your original stake of 100. So it is a brutal mathematical thing.
Yeah.
You were saying what you thought it was, and maybe you're right at some legal shops.
I mean, right? I know it's at some shops.
Yeah, at some shops.
It's where I've bet golf. It's
where
just
it's
your original stake is divided
initially
by whatever member, however many people they tie with,
and then you apply the
odds.
Right. Yeah. No, the one that I with gets the extra little oomph at the end.
Yeah, there's just using your basic example. There's not that big of a difference there, but the subtraction of the stake in as a whole, it does make it more punitive.
It all sucks.
It does. It all sucks.
And then we should point out, like, a shop like MGM, which you make some of your golf bets at. This does not apply to the MLB bet.
Yeah.
But to your golf bet, they do not have dead heat. They pay you out.
Yeah, ties
no matter what.
Right.
Isn't it worth it for you in golf to move some of your traffic over there?
I think for a lot of people, there's a number and odds, the odds that make it worth it to bet with the dead heat. But man, for your mental sanity, just take it out of the picture. Right? That's what I do. I'll bet in shops if ties pay in full for golf.
And let me just say this. So yesterday, by the way, I said something nice about MGM. Let me say something that isn't so nice is that yesterday I went to bet the Exacta. They put up the Exactas in the NBA. And in this year of chalk, in this year of UConn and South Carolina and Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda and you name whoever else. I'm like, I'm going to bet Denver to beat Boston in the NBA Finals. And it was 4-1. But guess what? Couldn't make a bet on the app, and I'm right there in the thing. It's like, you're not in Nevada. I'm like, oh, my God. And by the time I got it back, I have to delete the app, put the app back on. By the time I did it, and this is my fault because I was too close to game time, mark it off. Market was off the board. So this morning I made the same bet, but not at 4-1, at plus 375. Nuggets to beat the Celtics in the NBA Finals.
Still trying to get my cash out of MGM, so it's okay. I understand.
Okay.
The new rules have us all confused.
Good and a little bad. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from the heartland, Topeka, Kansas. The Expected Value Podcast. He is the host of that and, of course, works at True Media Networks. He's Paul Carr, everybody. C-A-R-R on the Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. It's Champions League semifinals. This is the fun time. This is the fun time of the year for sure.
Semifinals: Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern Munich, and Dortmund. What league are Bayern Munich and Dortmund in, Kelly?
The Bundesliga.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so funny. Just that exchange sent shudders in my spine. Okay. through my spine, I believe is the correct way to say it. Okay. So let's sort of start with. Are these the four teams you would like to have seen?
I mean, if we're talking, give me the four best teams in Europe this season, then no. I mean, Bayern and Real Madrid are probably on the list, but you'd probably want some combination of Man City, Arsenal. You can make a case for Leverkusen. They're undefeated all season and have won the Bundesliga. Maybe Inter Milan, but Inter got knocked out earlier. So no in the best team since, but we're going to get two Bayern Real Madrid games, which is great. PSG and Dortmund have plenty of pedigree and talent, so it's you know, some people call it like a JV semifinal on the other side, but it's still a pretty intriguing matchup. And one way or another, it should set up for a good final.
We got Bayern and Real Madrid today. We got Dortmund and PSG tomorrow. Then next week, the second leg of the semis, PSG and Dortmund on Tuesday, Real Madrid and Bayern on Wednesday. Your PSA about first legs and second legs once again?
Yeah, first leg, not super applicable because there's no chance of extra time. But, you know, you got to keep in mind that maybe a team doesn't press as hard for a win or will try to defend a lead and be content with a certain result on the road. So, yeah, the lines are always a little bit wonky, less so in the first legs. The second leg's where it gets really weird just because, you know, a draw puts a team through. So it doesn't matter if they win and things like that.
Explain the on the road part that you just slipped in there.
Yep. Yeah. First, these are home and homes. These first legs, Bayern and Dortmund are hosting. They're both in Germany this time, and there's no more away goals rule, so that's not a factor anymore. But yeah, this one's at home. So I'll mention this, like Dortmund's playing at home. They almost have to win this game because otherwise they have to go to Paris and get a win, which is just a lot less likely. So yeah, that shifts some of the motivations as well.
Okay, but no more away goals factored into the equation. Okay, let's start with today. Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, what are you doing?
Man, this shapes up as a fun one more than anything else. You've got, I mean, two of the all-time great clubs in soccer history. You've got two great coaches, Carlo Ancelotti for Real Madrid. He's won Champions League titles with Milan and Real Madrid. Thomas Tuchel is the head coach of Bayern Munich. He won the Champions League with Chelsea a couple years ago when they beat Man City in the final. So plenty of pedigree on the coaching side and obviously plenty of talent on the field. Real Madrid is just kind of the chaos team, you know? They win Champions League when they're not even the second or third best team in their league sometimes. And they just always seem to get it done. They knocked out City in two of the last three Champions League seasons. So kind of looking to embrace the chaos here. I think we're going to get goals in this first leg. This is one of those where Bayern really wants to win. You don't want to go to Madrid down a goal. And Real Madrid, like, if they lose by a goal, it's not even the end of the world. They just, they're like, yeah, sure, we'll go home and get it done. That's what they do. So I think we're going to get goals here. Over 2.5 is like -160. So that's not super appealing. But I think it will just be open from the start. So I have over 1.5 goals in the first half at +145. There's so much attacking talent on both sides that I think we'll see, you know, something like we've seen in some of the first legs the last round or so, where the first game is wide open, and that'll start in the first half here in Munich.
I love the juxtaposition of this is the biggest global sporting event on planet Earth today. Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. Paul is going over 1.5 first half goals at +145. And I will be watching the biggest global sporting event in my life at this moment. The Cleveland Guardians playing, followed by, of course, the Atlanta Braves playing, which is what you were pointing out, Kelly, the other day was so great about sports betting is we all have our little fiefdoms of what we're paying attention to. Tomorrow, PSG, Dortmund, you have a play on the side and then you have a prop bet.
Yeah, we'll start with the side. PSG is just a lot better than Dortmund is, I think. I mean, Dortmund, again, they have the pedigree. They've, you know, gotten this far. They reached the Champions League semifinal or final. I mean, I guess it was 10 years ago now, but they're traditionally the second best team in Germany over the last 10, 20 years. But they're really not that good this year. I mean, they got smoked by RB Leipzig in the league over the weekend. Their defense, not all that great. They're like 10th best in the Bundesliga based on expected goals allowed and some other underlying numbers. So it's a little smoke and mirrors. They do, I feel, they almost have to win this game to have any chance of advancing. But I think PSG is just a lot better. I mean, Kylian Mbappe is the big gun, and he should find room to do things because Dortmund's got to press for goals. So I like getting +145 on a straight PSG win here in the first leg. Again, just the better team. These two teams also played twice in the group stage. PSG won handily 2-0 at home. It was 1-1 in Dortmund, but PSG really outshot them 2-1 in expected goals. PSG really should have won that game as well. So I'll take +145 on the PSG straight win here.
And you're also playing Mbappe to score?
-110 is a really good price for an anytime goal for Mbappe. Just the very simple math. He scored in 28 out of 44 games for PSG this season. He takes penalties, so you know that's obviously a factor. And like I said, Dortmund should push forward because they need to win this game, which opens things up for Mbappe on the counter, where he's the scariest player in the world, and he can make Dortmund pay in ways that Atletico and PSV couldn't do in the previous round. So yeah, -110 in time goal for Mbappe.
Wow. Okay. Who do you imagine takes the Champions League?
I mean, I've I should or have kind of given up on betting against Real Madrid because it's just what they do. I still like them. They're the favorite, so that's not going out on a limb at all. And Bayern has shown some good things and some bad things, a lot of inconsistency from this season. So I would still take Real Madrid. I have a future on them that I'm writing from, I think it was before the knockout stage. So they're the betting favorite, and understandably so. I expect a Real Madrid PSG final, which would be fascinating because Kylian Mbappe for PSG is expected to go to Real Madrid this summer. So that would be a pretty wild storyline of, does he beat them and then join them? Or does he join them because he can't beat them? That would just dominate the headlines all the way up. You know, it'd be your, Kelsey brothers, Super Bowl week type of story. Should PSG and Real Madrid meet in the final.
All right. Should be fun. How quickly do we get to talk about Olympic soccer? Is that coming? Are you into it?
Yeah. I mean, the women, we can talk now. I cannot take Germany because they didn't make it, so that's disappointing. The men are more up in the air just because we don't know what the rosters look like with overage players and such and who gets released, and it's a little more complicated. But, yeah, the women will be a fun tournament because it's the senior teams. It's everyone you expect from the World Cup.
And you, once again, it's not a Paul Carr International Tournament segment without you trying to make a Germany bet once again.
I know. I was disappointed. I was looking at it a couple weeks ago, and I kept having to remind myself, like, where are the Germany odds? And like, right, they didn't make the women's tournament or the men's tournament, I believe.
Sorry,
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call up into a ball and watch it behind the counter.
They didn't make it on either side, men or women? Wow.
And the men is kind of a youth tournament qualifying. The women uses the World Cup, and Germany went out in the group stage this year, so they didn't make it.
Olympics in July. We look forward to it. Paul, thank you. Good luck with all the bets, man.
Thank you.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. NFL Rookie of the Year, some baseball markets to look at. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Back on a numbers game. Live at Bar Canada, the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets. So many tweets. Appreciate it. Best listeners in the game. At Beating the Book. Larry Fresh. It's a great Twitter name, by the way. Larry Fresh. Whatever the club cocktail is at Bar Canada, I bet it pairs well with a Bob Seger song. That's absolutely right, Larry Fresh. It sure does.
I think it's a shot at Crown Royal. And what Canadian beer we got back here? Molson? Labatt Blue.
Legitimately checking out what we had back there.
Yeah.
Glad there was nobody playing video poker blocking your view.
I am less than a stone's throw away from the bar.
Ben McGovern. I hit a 60-1 last year on the D-backs to win the NLCS after writing it off when they went down 3-2 in that series. Hope if your Guardians bet to come back from the dead and win out. Good luck tonight. Well, only back from the dead for one day. They were really in the catbird seat up until yesterday. Brian Schaefer, who, by the way, let me give Brian Schaefer a lot of credit because he was talking about the Phillies in the rear view the whole time. We're only discussing the bets from the Guardians bet perspective. And from the Guardians bet perspective at Circa, the Phillies don't matter. But yes, you're right. The Phillies could win it all too, right? Any of the teams with 19 could win it all if they win and the other teams fail. So
yeah,
you're right.
You are just laying out the scenario if someone has a Guardian.
That's right. And I guess what I'm saying is the Braves control the destiny at Circa because they have the fewest losses with 19. The next up is the Guardians with the second fewest losses. That's why the perspective is what it is. Wise Guy Profits. Sorry, Adam Burke, I lied. Maybe the best end to a segment ever, LMAO. What that refers to is this whole time I've been saying out loud, I'm sorry, Adam Burke, he's a huge Cleveland fan, huge Cleveland Guardians fan and every team Cleveland, that I've borrowed his team for a month, and now I'm borrowing it for another month. And again, the Giants are like, where are you?
I'm going to guess he's okay with it.
I hope so. Jesse Welch, I swear to God, I don't see it on DK. Oh, he says, I swear to God, DK isn't posting this most May wins market until Gilly reveals his pick on air. I don't know.
I don't know that they posted one at the beginning of the season, right?
We know that Will Hill Caesars has it.
Yeah, I don't know that DraftKings has been posting these.
I think DraftKings did have a March, April, right? I think they did.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I could be wrong. Scott, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, but he says, I know Dead Heat sucks from golf. My question is, since Cleveland has a lot higher odds than the other four teams, is it even chop or does Cleveland get more of the pot since way higher odds? Each team would apply to their own odds.
Right. So in theory, you would get more money still than a 15-1 in that market.
Stringfellow Hawk. Jews, Gentiles, Catholics, Protestants all coming together to support each other. Can sports wagering save the world? D-Gen Southern Gent. He has an Apple Music playlist of songs that have the word Mitch in them, except it's not quite the word Mitch, if you know what I mean. James Sott will be playing softball tonight at 8:30, 9:30. Normally, Cavs game updates would be needed. Not tonight. Guards updates. And then Rye asked about the hedging thing. Oh, how'd you make money? No, I was betting on the Guardians. I wasn't saying I was hedging against it this whole time. Trip Tepper, Gil, you aren't the only one with the BetMGM app issues. Their geolocation software is very unreliable. I get the couldn't confirm your location messages here in Raleigh, North Carolina, all the time, especially frustrating with in-game betting.
Yeah, not sure if that makes me feel better or worse, yeah. But I've been hearing more of that recently of people in other states having similar issues.
All right, beyond, and again, if you missed it, one day left in the March, April, and of course I made my bet on the May market, 16-1 at Circa. For most wins in May, again on the Cleveland Guardians. There are other markets, of course, in Major League Baseball, and you threw out some yesterday, Kelly, when we were talking. Most wins, period, is one of them, and fewest wins, period, for the entire Major League Baseball season. There's no bet here for me in the most wins because, as I have said throughout, one of the big takeaways from this run of the Guardians is just how much better the Braves are to me than everybody else. Like, to beat them is a Herculean task every single day. And sadly, we have to get the Mariners to do it twice in a row tonight for our bet. But the Braves are the short shot for most wins in Major League Baseball this year. They're plus 125. The Dodgers are 2-1. And then it does drop some. It goes to the Yankees at 8-1, the Phillies at 10-1, the Orioles 14-1. By the way, how about the Cubbies next at 30-1? One of my two overs this year in Major League Baseball. They're doing great. Padres, not so much. Slow out of the blocks. But here, I wouldn't make a bet because I am so impressed with the Braves in a way that I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't. I'll do the Kelly Bidlin. I'm sorry. But I just cannot. I couldn't do it just to do it. Right? I couldn't be like, Well, I'm going to play the Orioles because if this happens. No. The Braves are just that much better than everybody
else. But you wouldn't consider them at plus 125.
No, hell okay. No. No.
I wanted to bring this up, right, because I found the exchange between you and Somich interesting yesterday, where you had said, you know, who's actually stopping these guys? We know the MLB's playoffs are crazy. And Mike said, better, you know, this is the market he'd look at then.
Well, no, and my point, again, no one has talked about the incongruence in Major League Baseball between the regular season and the playoffs more than I have. I think the Braves are so good that I am willing to overlook that this year.
So you would prefer a plus 370 on them to win the World Series?
No, I would still not there. I would prefer a Braves over some team of your choice in the American League exacta.
Okay. This is becoming
or a matchup. You don't even have to
the year of the exacta bet.
You don't have to do the exacta. You can do a matchup. But I think the best way to really try to get something out of the Braves is that way. Because everything else at this point is just so ridiculously short. Even winning the World Series is not fun at that number, what you just quoted, right?
They are, DraftKings has some of these markets posted of team to record X number of wins. So it's 100 plus wins on the season. They're minus 200.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They're insane, dude. Like, again, last
night.
That's
crazy.
I know they got, you know, again, Mitch Garver, I love you. Seattle Mariners, I love you for coming through. But that was just another game where you're like, oh, they're going to be no hit here through six, and they're still going to win. And it didn't happen, but still, they can win anyway. They can win by power. They can win by just, you know, standard hitting. They can win with speed. They can win with their arms. They're like the five-tool team. Now, the best, the fewest regular season record odds. No surprises who will be here.
Another market, I guess, that you could compare it to as well. NL number one seed, they're minus 105. Dodgers plus 170. Problem is Dodgers are on their heels regardless, right?
Yeah, by the way, the Dodgers fighting their way back into this March-April thing is also this amazing thing, right? Where you're just like, well, there they are. They were left for dead, and they went on a streak. White Sox are even money for MLB fewest wins. Rockies are plus 150. The A's, who have been really pesky, are plus 360. That's a terrible number for the A's. Then it's the Marlins at 10-1. We know some folks who have the Marlins bet. I think Chris Felica has the Marlins bet for fewest wins. Yeah.
You think the A's should be longer in this market?
What I'm saying is, if you were ever going to bet the A's, they should be way longer than this.
Yeah.
By the way,
I love this market. I don't care what sport it is.
Oh, it's
How fun
great.
Is this market? It's always more fun to pick on the bad teams.
But the A's, the thing about it is, like, the A's are, I mean, what are they? They're 13-17. Their run differential still sucks, but they're 13-17. But with the Rockies and the White Sox, to me, as much as I'd love for Chris to win his Marlins bet, the White Sox and Rockies are so bad. The Rockies, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, play at Coors Field, which is a bandbox, right? Doubles and triples galore. Widest dimensions of any ballpark in baseball. They've only scored 106 runs in 28 games, and 16 of them have been at Coors. That's brutal.
Wow.
You know what's more brutal? The White Sox have scored 79 runs in 29 games. Period.
How many wins are they up to?
White Sox didn't have six, Rockies have seven.
Didn't they match it over the weekend, right? Didn't they sweep someone?
They
won three in a row or something to match their wins?
They won a couple at least. I do my update every day. They're at, you know, right, at the very bottom, obviously. So to me, there's no bet here either because the White Sox are even, the Rockies are plus 150.
Well, I think we always got to play the game with the Marlins of who could they possibly trade away, right? Because that's always a thing with them.
There's that. But to me, it's one of these things. What do I say? The chasm between the haves and the have-nots gets wider and wider. And I don't know that there's a team here that, like, quote-unquote, steals fewest wins. And the Angels at 40-1, like, could they do it? Like, let's just talk about the Angels at 40-1. That's part of the reason I made the Guardians May bet, right? Because they have six games against the Angels. The Angels who, I love you, Angels, came back to beat the Phillies yesterday. I mean, they're not good. So, if you said you were betting them at 40-1, would I hate you for it? I would not. They've won 11 wins. They've won 11 games. They banked 11 wins already, though. Even the worst teams figure out a way to get to 50 or 60. And they could. They feel like a 62-win ball club, that kind of thing.
Luis Arraez, Jazz Chisholm, any desire for these type of guys out there?
If they were available, some team would take those guys, for sure. By the way, the other thing about, so Samich has the Blue Jays at 28-1 in May, and I have the Guardians at 16-1. He's right about the Blue Jays schedule, too. But they have two fewer games scheduled than the Guardians. Remember the March-April, we already knew that the Dodgers and Padres had two extra games, but they were 1-1 going into the bet. But here are the Guardians, like, against the team like the Blue Jays. They already have two more opportunities.
Right, yeah. Gotta factor all that stuff.
You gotta factor all that stuff in. Not to say that he might not be right. We'll see. We'll come back. Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball. Maybe we'll get him to chime in on these two. Maybe he's like, oh, yeah, Marlins for sure. We'll see. Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly Bydlon. That's B-Y-D-L-O-N. I'm trying to big you up, Kelly, for everybody listening out there.
Thanks, man.
Kelly Bydlon.
Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, it's just from everybody, man. Everybody's great. Rich PSM. Tomorrow's my birthday, and I've got my 18-1 Guardians dead heat, but I won't celebrate until my leader sees a Mariners W, hopefully easier than last night and Saturday. Foresight should be rewarded. Go, Gil. Michael Burns, what percentage chance you give yourself at winning this bet? Curious. I don't know, Michael. We're a dog. For sure, we're a dog.
Yeah. I was thinking
we're
about
a dog.
If you had the dead heat, how many teams would you accept?
Accept?
Yeah, like would you take it now?
I do not accept this four teams. This four team tie.
How we always do the would you take your money now? Like take your money back without the.
Well, this is why I was asking earlier. What position would you rather be in? I prefer mine.
I'd rather be in yours too.
But I want everybody to win this. I hope if we can't, I hope the dead heaters get some profit out of it.
Man, just let only one team tie it or something like that. It would be okay.
Bro, could you imagine if, like, it just broke our way? Paper Mike. DraftKings had a promo. Oh, yeah, so everybody, DraftKings did have the March-April. Paper Mike, DraftKings had a promo for the April most wins where they offered you $3 per win back in free bet at the end of it, and I took the Braves 8-1 the day before you posted yours. He has vomit emojis, but hey, Paper Mike, you might win it. Joe Ryan, DK did post. He got the Guardians at 50-1. 50-1. So did James Sott. He said DK did have it up for the Guards, April bet, 50-1.
Yeah, thank you for everybody.
By the way, March, April is what it was. Jesse Welch, yes, DK did have most wins by end of April. I have Guardians, 50-1 preflop, and 18-1 from mid-April. LFG Cleveland Burks. Adam Burke, I love you. Cleve TA, I love you. I love everything about you, Cleveland. Scott Weston, dear Gil Pacino, just when I thought I was out, you pulled back in. Let's go Guardians. And then Chance Copperpot, yes, they did have that at DK Sportsbook. Most wins March, April. Got it in there before you started talking about this market, so I was very excited that you jumped on board, especially considering you don't bet baseball anymore, Gil. Oh, and then Brad Billups talking about my May bet on the Guardians. He says, why not the Phillies for the May bet? They play Miami, Colorado, and the underachieving Gigantes for 13 of the games, Washington, the Mets as well. Well, I think you answered your own question with that underachieving Gigantes thing. Giants magic. It's coming for you. We'll see. Let's get to April first before we talk May. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from Austin, Texas. You can follow him on FanGraphs, where he does the Sleeper in the Bust podcast and writes in volume for that Bible of baseball sabermetrics. He, of course, can be followed on Twitter at Sporer. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It is Paul Sporer wearing his Birds hat. O's, baby. Not an old school. What would you call that? It's because they had the, you know, I grew up on the friendly Oriole face hats. Those, to me, are still the best. But I guess they had a similar bird before that. This is the more newfangled bird.
I think this is supposed to be a throwback hat. I believe it was from their Mitchell and Ness series that they did. I picked this up in the Washington, D.C. airport randomly.
Oh, I know. I think I know exactly the stand you're talking about, too. Has everything. Yeah.
It was awesome. I couldn't believe what they had in the airport. And I was like, must scoop.
You're talking National, not Dulles, right? Yeah, I think I know exactly where. All right, birds. Let's just talk about everything. To win the World Series, because we rarely talk about that, you and I. But right now, is there a team that is not among the usual suspects? And by the usual suspects, let's limit that to Yankees, Dodgers, and Braves. Any team beyond that, including the Birds, including the Orioles, Phillies, Mariners, Rangers, Astros even, because they've gotten off to such a bad start this year. The Twins are surging. The Cubs are looking great. Of course, the Guardians as well. Is there a team out there you'd take a flyer on?
I mean, I would take a shot on the O's. I think they're so unbelievably stocked. I mean, they called up Heston Kjerstad this week. They have no room to play him right now. You know, things work themselves out. Doesn't mean they have to trade. You know, we did this all winter with Cincinnati about how they have to trade a bat. They have too many bats. And then spring comes, injuries hit, and, you know, no shade, but also kind of shade, like Nick Martini getting plenty of burn at age 33, right? Like, if they had traded Jonathan India and Spencer Steer because they had too many hitters, they would be really struggling right now. The reason I bring that up with relation to the O's is people think they have to make a trade. They don't have to. However, they are well-equipped. We saw it with the Burns deal when they dealt Ortiz and Hall. They don't really feel that. Now, that doesn't mean that Milwaukee got nothing. It's one of those situations where the surplus of the O's is such that they can give DL Hall, Joey Ortiz for a rental Burns, and everyone feels like they gave nothing and got an ace. Well, they did get an ace. They did give something, though. They could do another one of those deals is my main point here. If the pitching does not come back as expected, mainly with Bradish and Means, to join Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, they can go out and get another big arm. Not sure who that'll be. It kind of depends how the market develops into the summer, and still barely feel it. Trade a Kobe Mayo. Trade maybe Kjerstad himself. Kyle Stowers is a 26-year-old who could go be in the middle of at least 12, 13 lineups. So they still have a lot of flexibility, and they're already an excellent team. So, yeah, I would say the O's among the you know, non-usual suspects, they're about to beat down that door and make themselves the usual suspect.
I would have bet, if I was allowed to bet on your answer, I would have bet on the Brewers. Brewers 45-1.
I do love those Brewers. You know, this was a team that I thought wasn't getting enough credit in the offseason. I think it's because they traded Burns. I get it. And obviously they were going to be without Woodruff. And hey, that pitching is a little bit scary. It's Freddie Peralta and a band of guys that I could throw some fake names at you, and you might not know if they were the real pitcher or not. Tobias Myers, congressman or fourth starter for the Brewers. Who can say for sure? Just never know there. But Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Tobias Myers, Bryce Wilson, solid guys for the back end, but that's the 2 through 5 right there. So that's my issue with that ball club right now. They themselves could go out and make a move. They don't have nearly the depth that the O's do, but they have a good system that they can trade from and go get some pitching if they need to. It was a retool, not a rebuild this year when they moved Burns. I do like that lineup, though, and I think that in that central, they're going to be frisky all year, the Brewers. I agree.
I want to go second term congressman is the answer to that question. Okay, let me ask you about a couple players. I did Cy Young yesterday with Borchardt. I'll actually ask you about that too. But first, Elly De La Cruz, 13-1 NL MVP. Would you consider that?
I mean, I'm open to it, but you know, we're seeing the hot version again. And kind of forgetting maybe what that looked like when it slowed down last year. Listen, now I came in being against Elly De La Cruz from the fantasy perspective. He was a second round pick, and hey, that's working out and how so far with 8 homers and 18 steals. It's a profile that we've seen before that just kind of concerned me with the ton of swing and miss and no real walks. Here's the key difference, though. His walk rate is up nearly 2x, up to 14%. And if he has more control of the strike zone, I am less concerned about the strikeouts. It's when you strike out 30%+ and you walk 7-8% that I have some major concerns of those huge slumps. Already early on right now, we're seeing Elly De La Cruz tighten that up a little bit. If that is real, if that sticks, that he's going to take walks at a 12 to 14% clip, that is a whole new dynamic. So to answer your question, yes, that there is reason to look at that as a potential MVP candidate because he is so electric. This team is capable too. So even though we don't think that the team context should really bring guys in or out of the MVP conversation, the simple fact is that it does. But at least Cincinnati should be sticking around all year to kind of keep Elly in that playoff chase as well, because that is a big deal for some of the voters, unfortunately.
Okay, and I asked Borchardt about this yesterday. I'll ask you about it. NL Cy Young, Logan Webb is 8-1, and Shota Imanaga, whose Fangraphs page is just a thing of beauty, 20-1.
He looks incredible right now. I still like Logan Webb quite a bit. That's kind of the guy that I'm riding with right now.
Me too.
Weirdly, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, but you know, if you're asking about DraftKings today, he's only at 8,300. I don't really understand his price today. He's like the 9th highest guy out there. I'm easy all over that. Love what Shota Imanaga's doing. But again, it's early. Now, what we saw last year when Senga came over was he struggled early, then dialed in and took off. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit of the reverse this year where Imanaga's great early, but then as the weather warms up, the ball starts flying. He will have some regression. I'm not saying he's going to fall apart, but home runs are his main concern, and that's kind of the quickest way to really scale an ERA up. So I really, really want to see some more before I really get on the Imanaga train as far as a Cy Young bet goes. Love what he's doing. He's been a fantasy bargain at this point, serving you well in DFS, been great for the Cubs, all of that. But as far as Cy Young, I stop a bit short because we haven't really seen the warm weather or the wind blowing out much in Wrigley to know if that home run problem is going to be quelled or not.
DFS, can you do it in 20 seconds?
Sure. Again, Webb, way too cheap. I like the DraftKings. I love the two pitchers. Cole Reagan's 7,800. Also like 12th or 15th on the board there. Go for those two guys. There is no game in Coors, if I recall correctly. Be careful with Cubs, Mets. A lot of rain potential there. And definitely attack. I'm sorry. You got to attack Mike Soroka. I like him. I root for him. But you got to go for Minnesota Twins to stay hot against the White Sox as far as your hitters.
God, could you imagine if there was rain in Seattle tonight? Oh, that would be spectacular. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate
it. Guys. Thanks so much.
Talking about the Guards, but of course. NFL Rookie of the Year and NBA next. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil and Kelly from Bar Canada here at the D. Michael Montesano checking in, letting me know also that I was just sort of instinctively dead on about the A's, as it turns out. He says, per team rankings, projected wins, just one place that projects total wins. Colorado, 54.2. The White Sox, 54.5. The A's, 62 on the button.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's
like seven and a half more.
Yeah. Rockies and White Sox are just the worst of the worst. We get tweets. This is from a Brian M. After the German soccer conversation, sending a shiver down your spine, it's ironic that Paul Carr said it would be difficult to go to Paris and get a win since, you know, history. Too soon, Brian. Too soon. Mr. B., when the Guardians win tonight, if the Mariners take the lead, you can take the Braves plus 1.5 runs on the live line or pregame or adjusted line with heavy juice and guarantee profit or scoop the pot. Good luck. Yeah, it's not that clean because it's only a 90-minute stagger. So you don't know if Cleveland's winning, you know.
Oh, 90-minute stagger first pitches?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're to answer your question mathematically, we're a plus 420 dog to win. Plus 420 dog. It's a significant dog. But I would argue that Houston should not be as nearly as big a favorite as they are against Carlos Carrasco and the Guardians. And again, I know Carlos Carrasco has been shaky, but Hunter Brown has been the shakiest of the shaky for the Astros. And then Luis Castillo of the Mariners, I mean, he's like a top 10 Cy Young guy. So if he's like good Luis Castillo, anything could happen. But it's the Braves. You can't expect to win. You can just hope it falls your way.
So are you doing anything more hedging-wise before game action tonight? Or?
I honestly don't know what I'm doing. Because I don't. On the one hand, I don't feel compelled.
Right.
Right? But people are so, well, hey, I know you locked in something, but you got to lock in more.
I mean,
I don't know if I do.
I mean, you would maybe have the opportunity, Guardians win, live bet, right? The Braves game later.
Yes.
To do something like that.
It would be nice if one game was complete and then you could focus on the second game.
Yeah, things would be a lot simpler for you.
Yes, they would.
Early afternoon or something.
Yeah. But the fact that we could literally get, if the Guardians win, that's a big if. If the Guardians win, I have good hopes about it, though. There's a reason we bet on it in the first place, that we would get to the very last game of April with the decision.
It's wild, man. It's great. It's a great bet.
Before we get to the NBA, NFL Rookie of the Year. We talked about this briefly last week.
Can we shout out Greg Lake real quick? Greg Lake, everybody.
Oh. Thank you for the Masters Cups.
Yeah, man.
Crow's Nest.
He didn't believe that Matt Brown was going to bring us anything, so he said he was.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said he brought us a couple cups.
And you know what, Greg? You were right. As far as we know. Caleb Williams is your short shot, 2-1. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6-1. Jaden Daniels plus 650. So Jaden Daniels, because everybody knew where he was going or pretty much figured he was going to Washington in the end, his odds remain basically the same as they did pre-draft. Now, J.J. McCarthy is 8-1. That moved a little short. That got a little shorter. So three out of four of the top quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, obviously the number one pick, going to a good situation in Chicago. Got Cleveland on my mind. Chicago with great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze.
But, like, you could cross that name off right away.
It's too short. It's too short.
No, I'm not even going Caleb Williams. Go Roma Dunze. Like, he's not winning it before Caleb Williams is.
Oh, we didn't even get down the bottom. What you're referring to is Roma Dunze is 22-1. Right. I would agree with you.
I haven't really thought about that before, but, like, it's...
Right. For Roma Dunze to win it, either, God forbid, Caleb Williams would have to get hurt and somebody else would do it, would be a quarterback, or such a ridiculous percentage of Caleb's numbers would be Rome's.
Right.
And even in that case, they wouldn't give it to Rome.
Even in that case.
You're right. So he's probably the worst pick on that board in some respects. But Malik Nabers at 12-1 for the Giants is the fifth shortest shot. Shorter than Drake May with the Patriots at 16-1 because New England's not supposed to be any good. How about Xavier Worthy still sitting there at 16-1? We talked about that. And Bo Nix of the quarterbacks drafted, with apologies to Michael Penix Jr., who is not listed because he won't start. Kirk Cousins will. Bo Nix, 16-1, starting for the Broncos.
Penix is still only like 40-1, which is shocking. Like, that should be, 200-1, 300, 500-1?
How many bad games would it take for Cousins to have before people are like, Penix?
Oh, boy.
Not many.
Yeah. Three in a row to start the season.
I think that's the answer.
This market fascinates me. I've already made two bets.
Bet Worthy.
Bet Worthy Friday on the show. I think I brought it up Friday, but maybe not. Keon Coleman, I bet later at long odds at 50-1, 60-1.
Super excited to play real football next year.
He's excited to play real football. Going to Buffalo could be the guy for Josh Allen. I like both of those. And there's still, like, Jaden Daniels at over 6-1 just staring you in the face.
To me, that's, I mean, again, homerism a little bit, right? But that's the best bet to me.
I don't, because
you are a quarterback who will start immediately, so you have the opportunity. The path is right there for you to win Rookie of the Year at good odds.
I wanted to jump on Worthy and Coleman before they moved because I had a feeling they'd move at least a little bit. Daniels, I might still add him, Kill, before season starts, but I'm gonna wait for the rest of the shops here in Vegas to open up numbers and actually compare. Like, we've got like two shops compare right now.
We get legalized sports betting. we have defensive rookie of the year too.
Yeah, we do.
All right, good luck on
which this. those have shifted. When we first looked at those, I feel like there was a tie at the top. Dallas Turner's like moved into the significant favorite.
4-1. Did he go eighth? By the way, I'm curious.
No, he did not, Gil.
Oh, okay. Did something happen at 8 that I should know about?
That would have been cool.
Laiatu Latu of the Colts, 7-1, is the second shortest shot. Quinyon Mitchell of the Eagles, 10-1. And then Jared Verse, 11-1 with the Rams out of FSU, of course. Chop Robinson, Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold of the Lions, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid.
I'm not saying it's going to be one of those two names at the top, but it sure feels like there's a lot of defensive backs in here.
I have this just sixth sense about Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay.
I just think he is awesome. And I hate to say that because he's an Eagle. Mm. But I there's no bet for me here to answer
question. I brought that up about the DBs. It's just because I think you automatically look for a pass rusher, right, of who's going to rack up the sacks first to win this. That's more likely than one of these guys. I mean, what do you need for a defensive back to win this award? He's got to end up with four interceptions, five interceptions, even be in the conversation.
Oh, I think
wasn't that Reek Woolen, right?
Yeah.
Just a couple years ago. That's how you end up in the conversation. So you got to try to figure out which one of these DBs is going to end up with that luck.
And as soon as Tariq Woolen stopped picking off passes, he faded off the list, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, there might be some value in some of the edge rushers, but, man, that's the only thing I'd look at.
All right, Kelly, let's close how we began with the baloncesto.
Let's do it.
Very simple game, this baloncesto. You put the ball in the hoop and you score. I don't know if you know that.
Just do it more times than your opponent.
That's right. Triple header. Beginning with the Knicks trying to close out the Sixers at the Garden. 4.5-point favorites, total 203.5.
Yeah, this one, complete stay away for me. I think that's what Drew said, too. I mean, Knicks, I just don't have them favored this big of a number. It's a closeout game, though. I get it. I don't know what you're getting with Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter. You're finally getting the Jalen Brunson that I expected in this series. The Sixers should have a difficult time stopping him, and they have the past couple games. I'm not sure it's going to stop tonight. At the same time, though, would we be surprised at all if Joel Embiid had a massive game in this turnaround?
Nope.
So this one's a complete stay.
Could be a massive game. Could be his last game as a Sixer. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything. Then Cleveland and Orlando, game five. Series knotted up at 2 apiece. The Cavs, 5-point favorites. Now it's ticked up 0.5 since we started the show.
I did it last night. I laid the 4.5 with Cleveland. And this is the brain dead playoff analysis of, okay, This is what they wanted, Gil. This is what they wanted. They wanted the Orlando Magic this entire time. They tanked for it. Drew's absolutely right. The Donovan Mitchell stuff is concerning, and I think we're going to hear more after this season finally comes out on what he's really been dealing with over the past month, 6 weeks, injury-wise, and trying to come back. He struggled big time in Orlando. I really doubt it. This is a pretty heavy lean to the under, too, for me. I'm not going to play it. I think it's a real, real hard time imagining Magic replicating what they did on offense in Orlando. Big thing, though, with this series and the Knicks and Sixers, I know you and I were texting about it a bunch, the rebounding's becoming a big thing again. It's just like that Knicks-Cavs series from last year.
And then Pacers-Bucks. Pacers trying to close out the Bucks, but it's at Milwaukee for game five. Pacers favored by 4. You can't touch this.
I can't. I think Drew Dinsick put it perfectly. If I had to bet this, it would be the Bucks side because I can't get there on this rating for the Pacers. But, oh boy, is it a gamble.
Yeah.
And the Pacers defense just isn't good. So there's a chance the Bucks just shoot lights out for a night and steal one.
Watch how I do this right here. Are you ready? Watch this. We've done all we can do. If you're on radio, Gojo and Golic are next. If not, if you're watching pictures, Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.